He did love to see lions breaking the ice. And Sumner, after a moment's pause, solemnly replied, Miss Ward, in the country where lions live, there is no ice. Similarly, he could illustrate Sumner's pomposity. We would be told of Lincoln's remark, I have never had much to do with bishops where I live, but you know Sumner is my idea of a bishop. And of course the intolerance of the man would be brought out. The story of Congressman Brooks' attack upon Sumner in the Senate chamber would be rehearsed with emphasis as in Beveridge's life of Lincoln and in George Fort Milton's life of Douglas upon the provocation that Sumner had given by his outrageous insults to the state of South Carolina. We would hear again of President Grant's harsh comment when he was told that Sumner did not believe in the Bible. No, he did not write it. His self-conceit would be presented in Lowell's stinging little picture. Lowell tells us that Sumner used to say, when he was talking about himself, as he commonly was, I advise you to listen to this. This is history. We would hear of his quarrel with Lincoln, his quarrel with Andrew Johnson, his quarrel with President Grant, which shook all Washington. The biographer would tell us how he married and how his wife abandoned him after the briefest experience of living with him. In fact, she endured him just 6 months. And William Cullen Bryant commented that no wife could be content with a husband who is so exclusively occupied with himself and his own greatness. And the biography might close with the remark attributed, I believe, to one of the Quincys when he was asked whether he was going to Sumner's funeral. No, but I approve of it. Now, all this would be true so far as it goes, but it would be a great deal less than half the truth. There was another Charles Sumner altogether. That was the Sumner who has written some of the most charming travel letters in the English language, who was liked and admired by a long list of the most eminent men of letters in America and in England, whose intellectual curiosity was insatiable, whose simple amiability in private affairs made him beloved of children, of servants, of all his constituents, who had a fine enthusiasm for the best in art and letters, who never evaded a duty, however disagreeable, who never failed to exhibit the highest kind of courage, who was capable at times also of a rare kind of magnanimity, as he showed in a great gesture late in life to the South. A true biography of Sumner would present both the happy and unhappy aspects of an impressive public figure, and it would unquestionably emphasize the pleasanter and the more admirable side. Sumner's inborn rectitude, his serene endurance of social and political martyrdom in adherence to principle, his deep devotion to the Negro race, his faithful service to every friend in need would be brought out, and the result would be a mixed, a complex, and to that extent a less effective portrait, but it would be a truer biography. The fact is that human nature is nearly always complex. There's a great deal of good in every one of us. There's a great deal of bad, alas, in every one of us. And the best biographies are those which indicate the complexity of human nature. It is never to be penetrated at a glance. It is very easily misjudged. The best evidence of this is the fact that people constantly disagree about the character of friends whom they know well. Is Jones, down the street, a shifting, wavering, undependable man? Or is it that he simply always sees both sides of a question, so that apparent vacillation is really a high degree of open-mindedness and tolerance? Is Smith, the other way up the street, a blustering, aggressive man? Or is his rather cocksure, independent way simply the mask that covers an inner self-distrust, a feeling of inferiority? Thus we dispute about persons whom we know well. Moreover, nearly all human acts or traits have a significance that varies with the sympathy or antipathy, the good nature or ill nature of the observer. Is Robinson a mean man or simply a man of wise thrift? Is Jenkins a worldly man or is his apparent worldliness simply one side of his great public spirit. The biographer ought to begin his work with a sense of this complexity of human character. He will do well also to distinguish at least three layers or strata in human personality. The first, or outer, layer consists in stature, form, the shape of chin, nose, and forehead, the tone of speech, the mannerisms of walking and gesturing. The second consists in the more obvious tastes of a man, his habits, and his obvious principles or want of principle, his liking for sports, for books, for music or pictures, his desire for or aversion to a particular kind of society, his readiness to break the Sabbath, evade the income tax law, or borrow money or books without needing to return the money or books. And the third and deeper layer pertains to elements of character which only the closest associates, wife, business partners, bosom friends, can, after long years of intercourse, divine. And perhaps there may be distinguished a fourth or innermost stratum of character which is called into manifestation only by some great crisis, revealing in a man a streak of heroism or cowardice, of selfishness or generosity, of which even he was ignorant, as it reveals also perhaps abilities of which he was not conscious. What a crisis came to Grover Cleveland in 1884, when the press suddenly convicted him of having this illegitimate child, and in how many ways he might have met. There he was standing for the presidency of the United States. The stigma was fastened upon him overnight. What should he do? And he rose to the occasion in a way that perhaps he himself could not have predicted in advance that he would have risked. He telegraphed his friends, "Tell the truth," and they came out with the full story. Or take the, on a much higher level, take the ordeal of the great war through which we have passed, as it subjected Winston Churchill to crisis after crisis. Surely that revealed in Churchill not only abilities, of which the world had only an inkling, only a partial knowledge, but also strengths of character, abilities, a power of meeting grim stresses, which he could not have said in advance that he possessed. The first two strata of character, as I have identified them, are very easily dealt with. The third, the kind of knowledge of character that we get from the intimates of man, is far more difficult. The fourth may be quite impossible. The first two can be dealt with by objective presentation. The third and fourth require subjective treatment, but all of them require a rigorous honesty. I thank you.